Today is September 20th, 2018. I hope everyone's having a great early fall season. Last 3 weeks have been fantastic, coming back from 2 weeks of essentially going off the grid at the end of the summer, recharging, rebooting, and now it's been a very active first 3 weeks. Again, back to school, back to work. All the sports seasons, football season starts, and just feels like everyone's in high gear. So I've really been cranking it here, you know, at the lab for the last 3 weeks. We've gotten some interesting new projects off the ground, as well as putting some juice into some of our B Labs accelerator or incubator portfolio of companies. So I want to focus in today on the topic of entrepreneurial fire, because that fire, if it's not there or if it fizzles out, basically, you know, signifies the end of a venture or the transition maybe of a company from something really inspirational and really kind of energetic to something that's a bit more ho-hum, and maybe you've been able to use that fire to get to a place and then you're shifting down into a new gear, which is more of a maintenance mode, which is fine. For many entrepreneurs, this is very difficult to sustain a certain high level and pace of activity. I do believe amidst the fire, which is something that we have to kind of keep brewing and feeding and allowing to kind of grow, at the same time, we also have to find a pace. There's gotta be, you know, some ups and downs and some waves, you know, the way things move, life moves in rhythms. And so we kind of have to find a rhythm, and we have to know how to kind of get into it and hunker down and really meet those major milestones, and at the same time want to kind of get that reboot and kind of go offline and understand that it is a long haul. You know, it is a marathon, as they would say, not a sprint. So I want to talk today about, you know, maintaining that fire, kind of channeling that passion or near obsession that we have to have, and I believe all successful entrepreneurs have, with whatever their subject matter is, whatever it is that kind of motivated them to start a certain business, is something that if that doesn't continue to drive them or be a source of kind of inspiration for them, is going to have a negative impact on the business or the venture. Especially at the early stage, at the startup stage, as we know, that fire needs to be really strong, and kind of that indomitable spirit needs to be there to kind of fuel through all the challenges, all the negativity, all the naysayers, all the challenges with finances and people and other factors. So in talking about that, I would say for myself and my own journey, you know, over 22 years, close to 25 actually, you know, starting different businesses, being involved as a founder and at different levels and roles in startup ventures, something else has to develop as well. That passion, that drive needs to be kind of counteracted and counterbalanced by a bit of developed maturity, a level of objectivity, a level of reasonability, and obviously a level of resourcefulness, which I, for myself, I found when I stepped away from focusing on my own ventures, where you could kind of get some blinders on and get a lot of tunnel vision, so to speak. You think you've got the greatest idea in the world and you don't want to listen to anyone else's critiques or criticisms, which was something I was guilty of at times, to then becoming a consultant for many years, where I sat on the other side of the table and saw people just like looking in the mirror that were just like me. And I could see their blind spots, which is always easier to see in another person than it is in oneself. And so spending, you know, over 10 years as a marketing and business strategist and consultant for other entrepreneurs mainly, really taught me invaluable lessons of objectivity, of being able to step outside of that passion and kind of consider different options, different routes, different challenges. Maybe you've gone down a path and spent certain money and you get really attached to that, but being that outside consultant, you can look at that from a different non-attached perspective. And so how do we balance that is kind of the key question, and I think the key to success. It's finding that balance between that passionate energy and drive and that ability to kind of step back and this is really where the wisdom comes from. Look at things objectively, look at things from a real technical approach, and be able to be resourceful and adaptable enough to make changes where necessary. As they say, and I don't know who made the quote, but it's not the strong that survive, but it's the ones that are able to be resilient and the ones that are able to be flexible and adaptable. So it's a very important topic, and there's, you know, tons of case studies we can give looking at the successful entrepreneurs all around the world, and I can just, again, look at my own journey and reflect on that, obviously, with more insight, you know, than looking at others, and say that you know, there's been just tons of challenges that we faced over the last several years, launching this incubator in a type of business model that isn't a very common model. We're not doing an incubator and investing in, you know, 100 companies. We're going operationally deep in 5 to 7 businesses, becoming an operational partner with other entrepreneurs. It's a very heavy lift, and now you're doing it multiple times. So it's an incredible amount of energy. We face tons of challenges, capital shortages, issues with people, with partners. But I think, you know, for myself, this is where that other side, being able to kind of step back and take a technical approach, an objective approach, and then kind of come back to the table and then find your passion again, right? Because if you get too much on that kind of cold technical analysis side, you can lose your connection to that fire, to that spark. And all of a sudden, then you're a consultant just kind of giving recommendations and being able to move from one thing to another. So it's, again, great to have that kind of cold, stone-faced approach. But if you go too far in that direction, you can lose your connection. And now, you know, you're better off in a corporate role as a consultant than as an entrepreneur that's going to really drive some new innovation or vision. So it's really in that tension between those two, or maybe it's not a tension, but it's more of a balance, that we could find some kind of coalescence and fusion that kind of keeps that fire stoked in a certain way and keeps one's batteries charged. That being said, speaking of passions, as you may know if you've listened to some of our recent shows here in September, something I'm very passionate about and interested in is professional sports in general, sports as an analogy for life, the struggle, the journey, the challenge, the competition, the fears that we face and have to overcome, the injuries. There's so many great examples from my life and the lives of, you know, others that participated as athletes, either on a professional level or just any level, essentially recreational, where, you know, it helps us, you know, build certain muscles and build a foundation for teamwork, for example, and all the examples we give about, you know, putting the team, you know, ahead of oneself and own ego and interests, working for the greater good, and how people are able to achieve so much through that. So, you know, everything to do with sports for me, you know, is kind of an analogy and example for life, something that can help us. And the professional sport that I'm most interested in is the NFL, the National Football League, you know, here in the States. I've been following it since I was 4 years old. Been a Dallas Cowboys fan, for better or worse, and have developed quite an inclination towards understanding the game, the teams, the trends. I wouldn't say it's a exclusively data-driven approach, but it is data-driven to a certain level. I've developed this system, I call it the NFL portfolio, and I've done so as a way to kind of channel, you know, what was, I would say, maybe an addiction or a vice at one point back in my college days and early 20s in terms of, you know, sports gambling. And now it's been channeled into more of a methodical approach to basically prognostication and I would say allocation of funds to a portfolio, similar to the way one would invest in stocks or bonds or cryptocurrency, you know, ICOs, one way or another, when we're putting our money into something or another and hoping that it grows. Hopefully we're doing so, again, not just based on our passions and interests, but based on this balance with kind of objectivity, taking a technical, tactical approach, taking advice maybe from others if we're not an expert in that field. But I always find it most intriguing and important for me, at least, to become an expert if I'm going to invest in something and allocate my money or tell others to invest their money with me. I need to feel very good and confident and comfortable with having a methodology. So we talked about being a method man or woman and having a methodical approach to life and to the different work that we take on. And the methodology that I applied to NFL Portfolio over the last 7 years, it's really developed over many more years before that, but I really started organizing it into basically an Excel spreadsheet, putting all the games down in the picks. I want to actually show some of that in a minute here to kind of demo the system, B, to show how I've now taken the system from something private that I basically do every week during the actual football season, 21 weeks. We're in week 3 now. It's about to kick off tonight with Thursday Night Football. So it's a 21-week journey that also then has some downtime but continues year-round with the draft, with preseason in August, and with training camp in July. It's really maybe an obsession, one would call it. I call it also a personal hobby and an interest. But I've actually channeled that interest and organized it into basically a business and a business opportunity. And so this, again, gets back to that point about entrepreneurial fire and then balancing that with kind of a technical approach. I feel like I've done that here. And when I made the decision, essentially 4 weeks ago, a week before the season started here in 2018, the NFL season, I made that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to actually take this public. I mean, yes, it's a hobby and it's something I do on my personal time, but I do think it's a real business opportunity, and I want to see, I want to take this public and show people kind of the skill that I've developed and how I've organized it and what the plans are. So basically with 8 simple tools that we all have access to, I talked to a couple of members of my team. And I drove the process, and within a week, we essentially had a new business based around my expertise on analyzing, understanding, and prognosticating professional football games. And that is the basis of the NFL portfolio methodology. So let's take a quick look here at the website. And here's, you know, one of the 8 tools. I'm going to mark these off. So tool number 1 was Excel, as I mentioned, and I'll share that. Tool number 2 is some kind of content management system. So in this case, now we're looking at WordPress. So I talked to Adam, one of our web designers, and within a day, we had this basic site up, which with a logo that Adam developed, and then a tagline which I developed. So I did all the content, Adam did the design with my direction. So we talk about having a winning system and 7 straight years of double-digit returns on all NFL games versus lines, totals, and teasers, which is a special type of bet, essentially, or wager. So that's the home game. I have some content that gives background on the system. And then in the footer, we have a call to action, CTA, which is always important to drive people towards premium services, where we actually charge people for sharing the picks in advance of the games. And then we've got links to our Facebook and Twitter. So those are 2 of the other tools out of our list of 8, which I'll get into in a minute. So again, it's a simple content-driven site. I here click through, talk about the methodology a bit more. You can see 7 different steps that are taken to actually make the selections and put grades on each game, and then allocate a certain dollar amount to each one based on the grades. So it's a very methodical approach, and it's one that I just follow religiously, you know, every week, regardless of whether I won or lost the week before, and just try to take my knowledge of the teams and kind of some subjective feel factors about, you know, the games coming up, you know, weather elements, injuries, all the factors that tie into what may impact an outcome, and then I predict the scores of the games. So here on the site, you know, we've got 7 years of results, historical results. showing up. One could click here to see all the number of plays that were made, the record I had, and the actual sheet here, which is hard to read here, but I'm going to dig into it a little further where you could see where all the picks are done. Here you could see the Super Bowl prediction from last year, where I predicted a high-scoring game, which it was. I predicted the Patriots would win a close game, but it doesn't matter. They were a six-point favorite, so the Eagles actually did cover, as I predicted. And I put 5-star, which is the highest grades, on all 3 plays, and they all won there. So that's an example of a good outcome. And then we have this season's picks, coming in. We've got week 3 just about to come up, and results from last week, week 2. So, and then there's a blog where I share some insights and thoughts about, various issues related to football, sports, fantasy football, et cetera. And then, the ultimate part of the business model, which is you want to get followers and people reading your website, but you want to get people to ultimately come in and subscribe. And here we have premium services, 3 different offers, $50 a week to actually get access to the picks. $500 for the whole season, which, amounts to roughly a 50% discount if you get all 21 weeks with one fee, or to actually get the spreadsheet and learn about the system and be trained how to use it for yourself, which some people who are experts themselves may be interested in. I'm charging $1,000. So just again, we put this up a few weeks ago. We've already got our first few subscribers, actually, which is great, without too much marketing or promotion yet. So I'm really looking at this season as kind of a learning and experimental mode. Again, this is something I'm going to be doing anyway, making the picks. So I figure, why not share them and see if other people are interested in signing up? And again, we've already got over 10 actual subscribers for free, and then a few subscribers for some of the actual paid products. And so again, to create this simple form and embed it into the WordPress site, we use the tool called WooFoo, which is free at a basic level, and then you could pay 20, 30 bucks a month at a more advanced level to create simple forms and also integrate forms with payment gateways. So if someone's actually going to come in and pay here, you could link the WooFoo with things like PayPal. In this case, we chose to link it with a service called Square, which some of you may have heard of, which is where you get to kind of either plug that device into your mobile phone and you could swipe credit cards, or use it on a website like this. So we integrated WooFoo with Square in this WordPress site, and that's not a highly technical thing to do. You just have to be willing to kind of subscribe to these services. MailChimp, the email service, also is connected. So once users subscribe, they go into either the premium subscription list if they've paid something, and then they'll actually get the picks before the game start. Or you go into the general subscription list where you'll get kind of like a post-game, post-week recap. And we'll stay engaged with those folks and hope that they eventually kind of upgrade to one of our paid services. But if they're just kind of interested as a fan to follow along and see how we perform, we'll share with them our portfolio results each week. So again, that's actually 4 services integrated there. You got the WordPress site, the WooFoo form, the Square payment gateway, and then the MailChimp CRM. And then, of course, we connect Google Analytics, which is free, in the back to see how our different campaigns and promotions on social media or whatnot actually generate closed conversions. So installing a free Google Analytics code or pixel somewhere within your WordPress site is another step and tool. We already mentioned Excel, which I'm going to actually dig into shortly and show you our week 3 picks here for the next several days of games. And then the last 2 tools are social media. So we started, a Twitter account where we're posting different, news and kind of, again, mostly information about the selections we're making and the allocations for the week. And then up on Facebook, let's take a quick look. I'll be putting a post out tonight once the games start. And here you can see we showed our kind of results from last week. So, repurposes some of the content from the website, and then we post our actual chart, which if you click on, you can see what the picks were and where the actual winnings were. You can see last week we won. Again, this is not this is a hypothetical, you know, investment here. In this case, $23,000 of winnings last week. And then we did a little boosting here, so let's take a look at that. You know, we have an audience where we boosted a post there. We spent $100. And we got 846 people reached and 177 engagements. Okay, and let's look at, again, using Facebook as a tool to just post organically and engage with your audience. In this case, we've got, again, this is a Facebook page which went up 2 weeks ago, and we've already got over 229 people follow this, 227 that like it. So we added 119 this week. And let's just take a look again at how some of our promotions have done here. And in this case, I would say, again, obviously it depends on your goals and your product and your budget, but it's showing us that we've actually done 7 different promotions for NFL Portfolio and spent just under $700 here on 7 different ads and promotions. And through that, you know, we've been able to reach almost 42,000 people to build awareness, of which we've had over 2,500 engagements and 210 link clicks, which means clicks actually over to the website from the ads. And then we can see different page promotions, like this one page promotion where we spent $129 to get 263 page likes. It's interesting that you could see the performance of different things that you do. Like, for example, I did this post saying, asking about how does playing fantasy football, where you're focused more on individual players, help or hurt your overall ability to predict games? And wrote a pretty thoughtful blog piece and did a simple $30 boost and got, you know, 100 landing page views and reached 5,000 people. So it actually reached more people because it was more engaging content, you know, viewed by Facebook and actual, you know, people visiting the page to be more engaging content than like just simply posting, you know, my record or results in a given week. People seem to like this content. It's not loading there too quickly, so I'll click out of that. But you know, that's just part of the analysis when we look through and see the different boosts we did and what kind of results they got and what was the ultimate kind of cost per click or cost per engagement, and seeing what type of posts generally create you know, a higher level of engagement, which ultimately brings your cost per click down and allows you to reach a broader audience. So again, with a relatively, you know, low spend, we've been able to, you know, reach a lot of people, build an audience, actually get a couple of subscribers, and you know, really start to get this concept, this hobby, this passion, you know, in off the ground into the potential for a real viable business. So as a next step, I'm actually going to showcase where the actual magic and secret sauce is here. In one of my many spreadsheets, and here is week 3 picks, and let this be documented that it is right now exactly 5:44 p.m. Eastern here on September 20th, Thursday, so no games have been played yet. The first game of the week starts in about 2.5 to 3 hours, which will be the Cleveland Browns hosting the New York Jets. So you can see here what we start off with. I know there's a lot of data here, so I'm going to just kind of zoom in and out and highlight some of it. So if I may just kind of zoom in, you can see here we list, let's see if we can do a screen grab and take a look here. So here we're listing all the teams and games right here. You see the home teams and the away teams. And so, you know, you have the, you know, the Jets at Browns tonight. We have this game going on. And it all starts with a prediction. So you can see that I'm predicting here the points for the away team, which is the Jets, 14 against 17. So predicting a low-scoring game, basically, with the Browns winning 17-14. And then you can see all the score predictions, you know, further down the line here. I don't really like using red in these spreadsheets because that mostly signifies losses. Let's go ahead and change that up. Let's project positive and go in green, right? So here we go. Here's all the score predictions and all the games and also when the games are being played, right? So you've got Thursday night football tonight. Then you've got your 1 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday. Then you got your 4 o'clock kickoffs. Oops, actually, no, 4 o'clock kickoffs down to there. There should be a line here. Then you have your 8 o'clock Sunday night game, Patriots at Lions. And then you have your Monday night game. So it's become really interesting in professional football that we used to go from most games on Sunday at 1 and then a few games on Sunday at 4 and then a Monday night football. So there used to be 3 time slots when games start. And as someone who's kind of predicting and projecting games, it's a little bit easier to kind of follow that when all the games are kind of lumped into 1 or 2 time slots or 3. Now what we have is we have essentially on average 5 different time slots. You're starting with Thursday night, then 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and then Monday. Why does that matter? Well, it matters because as we make different predictions and certain things unfold in your favor or really against your choices, you have a chance to kind of make what I call adjustments and make additional plays throughout the week or weekend. So if you have to do that 4 times, basically, which is the opportunity now, you have the potential to make 4 adjustments during the week. So, you know, it's a little extra work, but it's the way that they've structured it. Probably has something to do with Vegas and knowing that by having more, well, it's to do with ratings and money and business. Ultimately, they wouldn't have added Thursday night football if people didn't actually tune in to watch. So it does create a little fatigue during the course of the week and if you're actually trying to tune in and follow. So you kind of do have to manage, and I as a fan have to manage my energy and time, you know, and can you really watch these full games or do you just catch highlights? I don't find it necessary, nor do I have the time and I'm willing to make the commitment right now to actually watch all of these football games or spend 3 hours on Thursday night, then again on Monday night, then Sunday night. So I try to record some stuff, watch it on fast forward. You do want to see how teams are performing if you're going to be kind of predicting outcomes. You need to understand the character and the way teams perform. So you do need to watch not just highlights, but actually watch some live game or recorded game footage. So it all starts with these predictions. You could see what the predictions are for this week. And then what happens is once we have the predictions, I'm going to erase some of that, those write-ups, and let's go ahead and highlight now. Then we actually look at the lines, right? And, you know, for those of you that don't understand, the lines are basically professional from Las Vegas and elsewhere, mostly Vegas, professional assessment of the difference in strength between each team. So in this case, the line is 3.5 points, which means the Browns, the home team is favored here. 1 means yes, 0 means no. The Browns are favored by 3.5 points against the Jets, which means if you bet on the Browns and they win by 4 points or more, you're a winner. If they win by 2 points or less, you know, you should have bet the Jets. So, you know, that's essentially how lines work. Most people understand that. But just for those of you that aren't aware of how this works, that's how the lines do work. And then you have the over-under line. OOU is for over-under or totals. And the over-unders basically signify how many points people think or the experts think there might be in that game. So in this case, they're saying 40. 40 points is the total line. So since I'm predicting 17-14, which is 31 points, you see there's a 9-point differential, which is over here, between what I predicted, 31 points, and the actual line put out by Vegas, 40. Now, I also predicted the Browns would win by 3, whereas Vegas predicted Browns by 3.5. So my prediction is actually very close to where Vegas is looking at this game, which is only a 0.5 differential. So When I look at that in the system, you could see over here we have all these deltas out over here between what Las Vegas line was and what my prediction was. And that's the basis of the system. In a nutshell, the basis of this system is fairly simple. You make the predictions based on your understanding of the game, and then you look at what Vegas thinks or what the lines are, and then you look at the deltas. The deltas are the most important thing. And so this spreadsheet's getting a little messy here, so let me delete some stuff. Right, so you look at, again, this half a point differential between my prediction and the line. Doesn't give me a lot of confidence in picking the Browns. I mean, it's so close. But on the other hand, this 9-point difference does give me a lot of confidence that this game is going to be much lower scoring than what Vegas thinks it's going to be. So that's going to prompt most likely a 5-star play for me, or 5-star grade on the under for that game. Whereas picking the Jets here, because the Jets are getting 3.5, and I'm only thinking they're going to lose by 3, that means I'm actually picking the Browns to win, but the Jets to cover the spread, right? So anytime you see red over here in this side, that means that I'm going with the underdog. Anytime you see black, that means we're going with the favorite. Anytime you see red on this side for the totals, that means we're going with the under. Anytime you see black, that means we're going with the over. We think there's going to be more points than what the bookmakers, odds makers believe. So that's a basic overview of how I'm looking at this week 3, and also how the system works every week. And you could see now, let me go back to this live spreadsheet. This blue, by the way, is the best bet. The pick I think is most solid for the week, which is the Jaguars over the Titans. So now here, we look at all the games again. Let me do another screen grab, and I'll have a chance to go through all my predictions for the week. But I like using the pen here. That gives me a chance to share with you and highlight different areas, because I know, as with most of my spreadsheets, there's a lot of data there, but it's just pretty straightforward. What you see here line by line is what you just see here down this side is you see all the different games, 16 games. No teams have byes. There's 32 teams in the league. So that means in the first few weeks of the season, everyone plays. And then after week 4 or 5, some teams, 3-4 teams a week, start getting byes. They get a little time off. And then there's either 15 or 14 or sometimes 13 games a week, which I never really love, because having more games means there's more action, more opportunity to make different picks. And remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about putting your chips on the table literally and kind of diversifying your risk. And, you know, people think, man, you're making so many picks, what if you lose? But in essence, just like flipping a coin ultimately, which gives you a 50-50 chance of heads or tails, even someone who had no knowledge of the game would have close to a 50% chance of being right in a given case. So, you know, when you spread this out over 38 to 40 to 50 different allocations or plays, as I call them, per week, you're really diversifying and spreading risk. Couple that with a bit of actual expertise and knowledge of games. And what I've been able to demonstrate over 7 years consistently is that I'm better than 50%, that my knowledge, call it subjective or whatever it's based on, actually allows me to gain an advantage of anywhere from 4 to upwards of 10 points, meaning I'm between 54, 55, and 60% for long stretches of time, and now over 7+ years, which is, you know, a fairly demonstrated and statistically significant sample size and period. So again, back to just week 3 selections here, looking at games between tonight, September 20th, and Monday night, September 24th, with the bulk of the games being on Sunday, September 23rd. We've got our 16 games. Again, we've got the games, the favorite, who's favorite to win, the underdog, and who's the home team. And then again, you have the lines, which means the odds in this case, the Chiefs are favored over the 49ers by 5.5 points. And I have the Chiefs, you can't see it in this screen now, but predicted to win by way more than that, like 10 points or so. So I'm giving the Chiefs a 5-star pick. So PL confidence is pick against the line confidence. So picking the Chiefs for 5 stars, and then I'm picking the O for over for 4 stars. Because I'm predicting more than a high scoring game, more than 54 points. Now, in our system, a 5-star pick, which is the highest possible grade, currently gets $5,000 allocation. A 4-star pick gets half of that, or $2,500 allocation. A 3-star pick, as you can see on this next line here for the Raiders, gets a $1,000 allocation, which you could actually see represented over here. And I also do 1-star and 2-star picks if I don't really love something. Right? We were looking before at that Jets game, which isn't showing up here. Let me snap out of this for a second. I think it was hiding up there. There you go. Some games we missed. Let's see if I can get into a full screen here. Okay, so now we've got all the games, and I'm going to just zoom out a little bit so we can see a little more information. And I didn't really love that Jets game because there wasn't much of a delta, but I still put a little allocation on it. I put a 3-star allocation on the Jets. Let's go back to the screen sketch, which is the name of this tool I'm using here. So now you can actually see the deltas over there. So you could see again with the Saints, which is this game, Falcons versus Saints over here. Picking the Saints, giving it a 5-star pick, and then 2 stars on the under. So what happens in the system here is 1-star and 2-star picks are still logged because that's a confidence level, but it doesn't actually get any monetary allocation. So I don't actually put anything on those, but I still want to record and see over time how we perform with 2-star and 1-star picks. And what's proven out over 7 years, which shows that there's actual level of skill here, is that 5-star picks consistently do better than 4-star picks, which consistently do better than 3-star picks, et cetera, down the line. 2-star and 1-star picks don't have enough data because I don't make too many of those anymore. My confidence has generally risen to take a little more risk and grade things up into the level 3 stars and above where they actually get a monetary allocation. But even the 3-star picks in general are much closer to 50-50, maybe 51 to 52% winning percentage. Whereas I can show you, not at the moment I won't, but that 5-star picks consistently are in more like 57 to 60 plus percentage. So again, just quickly going down the list here, you can see all the picks all the way down, each of 16 games are picked. And then each of 16 over-unders are selected. And then over here in the bottom left corner, we actually have our teasers, which if you're not familiar with how that works, a teaser is a bet where you pick 2 or 3 different outcomes or games. So in this case, you have the Saints, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. I'm pairing those 3 together in what's called the 3-team teaser. Right? So you have 3-team teasers, and then you have 2-team teasers. Right? You could see here we have a couple of 2-teamers, like this Eagles-Jaguars is a 2-teamer. Rams-Bucks is another 2-teamer. The difference is when you get a 3-teamer, you get 10 points. And in each game, you get to move the line, shift the line by 10 points one way or another. So the Saints were getting 3 points. They were a 3-point underdog, as you could see way up here. And now instead of getting 3 points, I can give them 13 points, which means even if they lose by 10, this element of the teaser is still a winner. The catch is, even though you get to shift each game by 10 points one way or another, you have to win all 3 in order to win the teaser. So if the Saints cover there and the Chiefs cover here, but the Vikings all of a sudden don't cover here, they're favorite by 6.5. Actually, in reality, at 16.5, they're favored by, a big favorite over the Bills. But using the tease element, I'm able to take that 16.5 down to 6.5, which means they have to win by a touchdown, 7 points or more. If they only win by 3, this teaser loses. This one element loses, which means the whole bet loses of $5,000, which would mean, you know, then I would have to actually bring in the red, which I hate to do, and say minus 6K for that pick. Because you don't, when you lose, as most of you know, if you've put wagers down, you don't just lose the core value of that 5,000, you pay what's called a VIG. It's basically, you know, a fee that goes to the house and the bookmakers or wherever you're placing the bet. And in this case, for teasers, you pay 20% extra. So you don't just lose 5K, you lose 6K. And every book is different on their percentages, but for these kind of regular bets, the over-unders and the straight bets, it's usually more in the 10% VIG when you lose. And then for these teasers, it's usually more in the 20% VIG. Okay, so let me just erase all that so we can get back to the screen and see that we have a bunch of teasers here. Let me actually X out of this altogether so we can see where we're kind of netting out here. So from the sheet, you could see there's 38 plays for a total risk dollar risk amount of $159,850. Looks like a lot of risk, but again, that risk is diversified across 38 different plays. And this is out of a portfolio. If we want to go back to our dashboard, we can see our overall portfolio balance over here of $413,000. So that's how much money there is in the portfolio at the moment, which, as you could see, is up $23,000 from the week before because we had a winning week. Week two was a nice winning week of $23,000. Week one was close to break even, but we did have a small slight gain of $600. And so we started the year, the season, with $389,325, and we've grown it now 2 weeks in a row. So we'll see what happens here in week three. I know from history, and as you could see, if I scroll through, every week isn't a winner. You know, everywhere you see red here down this column J was a losing week, but everywhere you see black was a winning week. So last season we started at, you know, 389, and we ended up with 552. Okay, so actually it actually makes me see that our formula is actually off here. Let me actually make this correction. This should be. See, you do things live on the spot. We should take the starting point of 2017, which was 552, which means we're now at 576. Okay, so then this $159,000 portfolio risk this week is, you know, a decent percentage of that. And let's look at some KPIs here. So we have key metrics, at least. You can see here the distribution of picks between 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, and 1-star. A lot of 5-star picks this week, so that means a lot of confidence in the picks. You can see where we picked favorites versus underdogs, 9 versus 7, home teams versus away teams, 9 versus 7, and overs versus unders, 9 versus 7. The last thing I'll share with you, and again, I know it's a lot of data, is just the number of straight plays, which is against the line, 14, against the totals, 13, and then special plays, those teasers, 11. So that's our 38 plays for the week. Again, you could see what they all are right here. And then what happens is as the week starts unfolding, we start filling in the spreadsheet, and then it starts looking more like this one. You can see red for where the teaser elements have lost, which means the whole bet loses, minus 6,000. And you could see all the green for all the winners, which is plus 5,000 if it's 5-star, 2,000, not 2,500 if it's 4-star, and 1,000 if it's 3-star. So had a good week last week with teasers, up 22,000 just on teasers alone. So again, every week's not going to be a winner, But, you know, this is the dashboard so far for 2018, and those were our 38 week three selections. I'll report back and let you know how we do. So you can see just from kind of listening to me here, there's obviously a deep level of excitement, of passion, that entrepreneurial fire, taking a hobby and turning it into a potential money-making business opportunity. Or maybe it just stays as a fun hobby with an expertise that I have that I'm willing to share with others using these eight tools that I just shared today: Excel, MailChimp, Square, WooFoo, Facebook, Twitter, WordPress, and Google Analytics. Took a little bit of work, and it was a little bit of kind of a high-powered week 2 weeks ago when we got this kicked off, but was able to do most of it myself in my, you know, quote-unquote free time. And maybe with about, you know, 30 hours of effort overall over a couple weeks, this little engine is kind of up and running and feels kind of nice. And again, we're using the MailChimp email platform to take our initial database of 30, 40 people and some of the new subscribers that are coming and start sharing with them our results, as well as doing so through social and through the website. So whatever it is you're you know, thinking about starting or business you're involved in, make sure you've got the passion and the fire for it. And if that flame is missing or if it's died out, think about it and really reflect on whether it's something that could be sparked again, because it's important to you and it's something that maybe you just got burned out and you need kind of a new angle or a new kind of booster. Or sometimes when that fires out, it means it's time to kind of consider where it might have moved and when it's maybe time to kind of call it a day or shift gears into something else. Now, what we don't want to do is find ourselves in a position of kind of being a hopper and jumping around from one thing to another because we get bored. I mean, that's actually a tendency that can happen to me as well. So I make sure if I'm going to take something on, I'm going to make an intentional commitment that, yeah, I'm going to put an energy into this and I'm going to see it through to the finish line. Whether it's at 100% pace or whether I'm juggling a few other things at the same time, I have to be very intentional, and I recommend that to you as well, about your commitment. Again, which is where goal setting and time management and planning to the best of our abilities helps us determine where is our fire, where are our passions and interests, and then how can we direct as much time and energy as we can into those areas, which usually is a good formula for having success and really building a deep level of knowledge and expertise. So my challenge for you this week is to kind of consider, you know, what's been kind of unveiled here and started in a three-week period, which I'll obviously keep reporting on our success metrics and KPIs over time. And think about what you can start, whether it's a side project or a passion project or a bucket list item, and how you can kind of go outside of your kind of comfort zone or box a little bit, while also using some of your strengths and the tools and skills you have to get that thing unleashed. Obviously, I'm a marketing and digital, you know, strategist and expert. So for me to use these eight tools that I mentioned and kind of whip it up into kind of a new actual live up and running business and project may be a little easier. But, you know, there's nowadays these tools are more at our fingertips and more accessible, you know, through our mobile phones, through our websites, through even cost effective, let's say, consultants and people that can help us do so. So don't use your lack of knowledge if you're not an expert in the digital marketing area as an excuse. Plenty of people out there, you know, including myself, you know, that are willing to help. So, you know, reach out if you have any questions about it. Check in on your internal flame and see where it's kind of being lit or directed. And if you can't access it, you know, even deeper cause to do some meditation and see what you could do to kind of get that rejuvenation and get that fire back. So I wish you luck in that part of your journey, and thank you for giving me this chance to share, you know, the NFL portfolio and something I'm very interested about. And you know, hope we have a successful, you know, week three of our journey with this young venture here. So we'll see you next week.